I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Super Mamas.
Welcome to Super Mamas Podcast, your favorite podcast with your favorite host, Brisa and Paulina. What's up, sister?
Hi, hi, hi.
You are blonder than ever.
I am.
Blonde Brisa's back.
Blonde Brisa is back. The other day you popped up in a meeting and a Zoom call and I was like, what happened? I was like, oh, I didn't see you.
Well, because my roots had like been grown and I was low key.
That's true.
Like half brunette, half blonde. Mm-hmm. So last night I went to the
salon.
Yes, to see my girl Cindy. I'm like, where do we do? She's like, I think you still got one more blonde in you. And then we could then.
No, I love it.
This is like the start of my like small face out because I only have a few inches of the ends of like my real, real blonde that I had. And the rest is pretty much heavily highlighted. So now I have like maybe two more haircuts to go and then all my actual blonde will be gone. And then by then we'll start the face out period. So this is probably going to be the last of the season. It's spring. So I get like spring, summerish vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely.
But you like it?
I love it. No, I love it. You look very different, very sophisticated. Sophisticated.
Thank you.
Very sophisticated. The same thing. I'm like looking, I don't even see purple anymore on the top. Like it's all the way in the bottom. So I think it's time for another thing. I don't know what we're going to do this time, but I love it. I do love your hair. It looks really good. It makes you look brighter and happier. You're walking around with the sunshine in your face.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So what is going on? I want to say, and I don't know, we haven't talked about this, but I want to give you a huge shout out because I know I'm excited about this weekend. I'm low-key more excited about this weekend more than a lot of people.
Once you listen to the episode, it must have happened already. But yes, I was at, I haven't even talked about it. It's so weird.
I know.
I'm going to be in California Adventure Food and Wine Festival. I'm going to do a chef demo and a michelada demo.
That is huge.
We're going to get a freaking VIP tour experience with the family. I'm like, yes.
Whatever.
Else do I need to do?
Else.
Anything else? Like, how many weeks do you want me to do? I'll come back next week. Like, tell me. You want me to do it 2 days in a row? I'll do it 2 days in a row. Like,
I mean, that is a huge accomplishment.
They originally asked me for one demo and then I'm like, I'll do two. I don't care. Like, give me Disneyland.
I mean, this is a huge deal, Bricia. I think these kind of accomplishments need to be really highlighted because sometimes people see what we do, what you see on the gram, and we have all these videos and things like that. But like, there is so much work that goes behind all of that. And you had a really tough year last year. And like I told you, this year is about getting in, como se dice, cosechando all the things. And this year is, it's a good year. It's a positive year. And like just to start, and not even starting because we're already in like freaking March. But with this, it's just like one of the little things that you are going to be doing the rest of the year.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And Brittany brings all that energy. Who do we have on our show today?
Today on the show, we have our really great friend, Brittany Baez, a driving force behind Guerrilla Tacos since 2016. Brittany blends entrepreneurial flair with hospitality expertise. Leadership propelled the restaurant through the pandemic with creative solutions like emergency taco kits. Beyond the kitchen, she's dedicated to giving back to the community as evidenced by her roles with James Reed Foundation regarding her and the Juan Carlos Cantoni Foundation. I don't know how this girl has time to do all of that. She is everywhere. Everywhere I turn, her name's there. She's doing something. And I just really love her vivacious
energy. Just energy, her aura, her essence.
Everything.
Her
je ne sais quoi. Everything that she does. Yes. So please listen to this episode. Share it with your, if you have like teenagers or.
Share it with all your non-mom friends.
Yes. 100%. So without further ado, Super Mamacita, Brittany Baez. Welcome to the show, Brittany Baez, a super mamacita. How are you?
I'm well. I'm so excited to be invited on.
Of course. Why wouldn't you be invited on? You are a mamacita, after all.
I'm a mamacita.
Yes, you are. Yes, she is.
Before we get into deep conversations that we really go into, Brittany.
Okay, let's do it.
Before we go into that, can you please let the Super Mamas know who you are, who you live with, what are you up to? Where are you right now in the world? Tell us all things about Brittany Baez, please.
Yeah, so my name is Brittany Baez. I am a restaurateur. I'm a co-founder of Regarding Her, along with Alicia. I am a fiancé. I'm getting married.
Fiancé?
I know. And I'm born and raised here in LA. I don't know if I already said that. And I'm perpetually stressed out. That's a big character trait of my own.
I love this all of so us. Much for you.
All of us, yeah. Trying to get hobbies and stuff, but with this entrepreneurship game, I feel like everything that is a hobby ends up becoming like, how can I use this hobby for my business to make more money? And then it leads you down to wearing another hat that you never intended to wear. But now you're the painter of the group. So
I totally get you. Everybody's like, you should do this. You should. I'm like, yeah, because I don't have enough things to do already in my life. I should be doing more things.
Yeah. My therapist, she's been telling me this for years. Like, I needed to get a hobby that was unrelated. Like, I couldn't work it into restaurants. No photography, no like pottery, anything I could use to like, oh, I can make the plates. So I tried the piano.
It was and now we have live music every day.
Yeah, exactly. The concussion performance from 11 to 12 in between shifts.
You can catch me every Thursday at Girl Tacos. I took a stand-up comedy class at The Crow, which is like women-owned in Santa Monica, California. And now I'm like all about it. And I go to mics and I'm like, we should do one at Gorilla. Get people in here. We should do all these things. I'm like, how do I manage to do this? How do I manage to make everything about the restaurant?
You have my dad's brain, 100%. I remember like this was my dad. We used to perform here at the restaurant. We used to like get on stage. But he said, and I used to perform, then go and change and then become waiters. And then like, oh, it's 4 o'clock. We need to get on stage again. It was like that multi-use, multi-think, anything, right? You know, it was like, how do we include that into the business? So we get you.
And it's what sucks. I think I'm starting to realize this now that we're on 6 years. You guys are like, you know, decades in, but we're on 6 years. And I'm like, oh, you never have to stop trying. Like, you can never be like, never. It's running itself. People are showing up. The moment that you like take your foot off the gas, you're dead. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. If I had known this 6 years ago, maybe we would have made a different choice. But you truly never have to stop like tomorrow to be like a dancing monkey on the corner or something.
No, and even for us that we're decades in, it's still the same thing. Ever changing, ever moving. I always tell people, like, you can tell what in a business when the owner doesn't come around. The plants, everything. Like, you have to be there. And I think that's one of the misconceptions about entrepreneurship, right? Everybody's like, I'm going to go and have my own business because I can be my own boss and have my own time and, like, never have to worry about anything. Yeah, right.
I know. I saw a TikTok because, you know, I'm young with the kids and TikTok.
Of course, yeah. The TikTok, because you're with the TikTok.
I'm with it. It slaps, as they say.
I don't think people say that anymore. My sister told me that you can't say that.
Dan, my fiance, is a high school teacher, and he says it all the time. And I'm like,
oh, okay. Yeah, but he's a teacher.
He's not supposed to be.
Hello. If the teacher is saying that, that's like clue number one.
Yeah. He'll be like, are you locked in, Brittany? Are you locked in? And I'm like, he's also a white Jewish man from the East Coast. The other day we were watching College Hill, which is like Black famous people that are going back to college, and New York from Flavor of Love. Do you guys know who this is? New
yes,
York?
Of yes, course. Yes, hello. Yes.
She kept saying, I'm the HBIC. And Dan's dad was in town. He was like, what does that mean, HBIC? And Dan was like, it means Historically Black Institute or College, which it does not mean. It means head bitch in charge. He was like, it means Historically Black. Like, why would New York be screaming like, I'm the HBIC up in here? Why would she be saying, I'm the Historically Black? And this is the confidence of a white male that he's like, yes, this is exactly what it means. I have no context.
And everybody believes him.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. I was like, wait, I thought he was joking. But anyway, and so he's the one giving me, because he teaches in South LA, which is predominantly Black and brown. And so I'm like, Dan, stop bringing these words home. They don't fit on you.
Oh my God, that is so funny. Oh my God. So
all that to say about TikTok, TikTok said, like, I quit my job because I didn't want to work 9 to 5. And now I work 24 hours a day with no
24/7.
Yeah, exactly.
And zero pay.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of crazy.
But it's also fun, right? Why else would we do this if it's not like fun and fulfilling and exciting? And it's a passion that even though we are stressed all the time, I don't know if I would want it otherwise, you know? I don't know if I would be at this point going back into clocking in and clocking out or like just having a more structure. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I always think like in everything in life, we think the grass is greener on the other side. And it really is not. You just got to water your garden. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, I've been on like a Instagram fast because I'm on Instagram for hours a day consuming, comparing myself to everybody. And then I'm like exhausted. And so I like was like, okay, I need to get off Instagram. But then I've gotten on Reddit, which is like forums and a lot of reading. And somebody was like complaining about a coworker that was like just not pulling their weight or like made this BS complaint, and the complaint made it so that they had to do even less work. And I was like, well, at least I get to fire the people I don't like around me. Whereas if I was an employee, I'd have to be like, dang it, Peter.
Dang it, Peter. Yeah. Darn it, you Pete.
Yeah. I'd have to be on Reddit complaining about Peter rather than being like, all right, let's do a exit strategy for how to get Peter out of here.
I feel you. I feel you, girl.
So tell us how you guys started in the restaurant journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why did you choose this life for yourself?
Yeah. Why are you, what is it called when you like self-afflict?
Yeah.
Masochist. Yeah. So when did you realize you were a masochist?
I thought I was going to be a lawyer and I really wanted to be a politician. I was like super politically inclined.
I could see that for you.
Yeah. I was like super educated about it. I did a lot of stuff in my youth to be involved and meet other young people that were involved in politics and things like that. And I'm born and raised here in LA. And so wasn't really ever like the only person of color in the room. And as I got like deeper into political things, even in high school, I was like, oh my God, there's like so many people here that don't live like I live and that are just kind of assholes. And I was like, I really hate this. I hated the like cutthroat nature of it all. And I felt like it was going to be stressful in a different way. And I also felt like the change that I wanted to make, it wasn't going to really be impactful. And this was like me at like 18. It was just not a good fit. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to go to school, be a lawyer. I thought I was going to have an emphasis in employer protection laws. So kind of like writing handbooks, things like that. I really liked making a form. So I was like, I'm going to be that kind of lawyer.
Brittany likes a form.
I like a form, yeah. And whether I use them is separate, but I like to know that I have them. And so I was a litigation assistant at a law firm, and then I would go to school. And so I felt like I was in school, and then I'd get off, and I was like still doing school stuff. And I am not that person. I'm super bubbly, super energetic. I really like to be doing something different. And my life at that point became super mundane. And when you're out of high school, you're like, what am I? I used to cry to my little high school sweetheart. We were still together at the time, being like, I peaked in high school. Nobody's going this is as good as it's going to get. And I would cry. Like, I would be like, okay, convinced. And I was like 18, 19. So my little high school sweetheart at the time was like, why don't you work at this coffee shop? It was called Handsome Coffee Roasters. It was a very snobby coffee shop in the arts district. We didn't have milk alternatives. So it's whole milk only. We didn't have sweeteners. So no sugar, no stevia, nothing.
You get what you get and you can't get upset.
Yeah, exactly. So it was very hipster in that era. And I like fell in love. I loved that every day was different. I loved meeting regulars. I loved meeting people and being like, what do you do? Like, what's your life? And I was like, oh, wow, I really, really love this. So when I graduated, I was applying for jobs. I got an offer at BuzzFeed. I got an offer for ESPN. But Blue Bottle had just bought the company. And so I was like, oh, well, maybe I can like grow within the company. And they were going through like this major shift because they were going from small business to no longer small business at this time. We were their first shop in LA and they had just gotten a bunch of Google money. And so I thought I was going to go that path. It didn't work out. So I was like, I'm just going to start my own little business, kind of doing the forms for people, which is what I was going to continue my education in. So I got like 6 clients that I was just like doing their general admin, like Ixlet was one of them, Found Coffee, and Gorilla Tacos was one of them. The other companies kind of were more established, but with Gorilla, it was just the chef at the time, Chef Wes. And I was like, oh, this is like a mess. Like Gorilla needs Jesus. Like it's in debt. Things were just like really not in a great position. And so I put in some of my own capital. I put in way more time. I charged him way less than I charged anybody else. And I think like a year later, we became partners. He was like, I can't do this by myself.
How old were you?
I was 21. Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We started working till September. I turned 22 like a couple months later. So it was like in my early 20s. And I had a full-time job. At that point, I had left coffee and I was working for the Sprout Group, which they were the one that opened Bestia and Republic and things like that. So I was learning more administration stuff. So I was working with Gorilla and I was like, had this full-time job. And then in 2016, the truck started to do better and better and the business started to grow and grow. And so I left my full-time job and I was with Gorilla full-time. Every now and then I would leave and like go work at another restaurant group that like hit me up and then come back. But I was always kind of running it and it was fun. It was 7 people. We made enough money that we were profiting well. It was easy to manage and it was a good time. And I was ambitious. I was like, no, we got to get to the brick and mortar. And everyone always asks you, when are you going to open your brick and mortar? When are you going to open?
When are you going to expand?
Yeah,
when are you gonna have
it's
more
like
locations?
Asking a mom right after she's had a baby. So when are you going to do it again? Or even when you have like a 5-year-old and it's like just thrown up on you and you're like, when are you going to have another? And so I was like, okay, yeah, I'm 24 years old this time. Like, let's do it. I fundraised the money. And then in 2018, we opened the restaurant. And I had done so many administrative jobs and I'd served and I'd hosted, but I didn't do like the natural trajectory. And neither did Chef Wes as a chef because we were both so naturally gifted
that yeah, of course.
We kept leapfrogging over like really important steps where you learn a lot. And so we would always say that we were building the plane while we were flying it. When we designed the layout of the kitchen, Wes was most comfortable with the food truck layout. So he laid it out like a food truck. So it was like things like that. We're like, oh my God, what's going on here? And overnight we went from 7 employees to 70. And many of them, I was 24 and many of them were way older than me and had been doing this longer. And people love to tell you when you're younger, like your opinion doesn't matter because I'm older. They love to say it. It was really difficult. And now we've been in the brick and mortar for 6 years. And I'm like, wow, if I knew what I knew now then, maybe things would be different.
Or this is where you are and where the road is taking you.
Yeah.
You know, for wherever is going next.
Yeah.
I think if you would have known, you wouldn't have done it. And then you would have had regrets of like, maybe I should have. Same with us. We learn as we go. We're like learning and then something comes up and then you're like, oh, shoot, now I got to learn about this. Now I got to learn about that. Now I got to do this. But I think that's what sets you apart. Every time I talk to you, you always talk about the younger people and the younger. And I'm like, Brittany, you are young. Like you are really young. I don't know why you think you're old.
I know.
I just think because you've maybe lived many lives. You've lived. I'm very curious about your upbringing and your parents because me as a parent now, I'm like, how do I have 3 little Britneys? Because
since,
you know, I've met you, like you have drive and you're like out there and you put yourself out there. And like, this is a whole new story that I'm listening from you today. And I've talked to you many times and you've told me many different stories about your life. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is new. I didn't even know. So did your parents like push you? Were they like super strict with you? Like, how was that upbringing? How did you become that ambitious, hungry person that you are?
So I have a very similar sibling setup as you guys. We are 3 girls and 1 boy. I'm the youngest. It's sister, brother, sister, sister. We grew up in LA in a 2-bedroom apartment. All 6 of us live there. My sister, Nicole, is 8 years older than me. And we didn't have like a lot of money. And I knew that we didn't have that. And I think because I was the youngest, I benefited from my parents aging. And my sister, Nicole, my mom was 22 when she had her. She was 30 when she had me. And that's a lot. You learn a lot. And then she had two other kids in between then. And then my dad, because my parents are 9 years apart, was 39 when he had me. So I really benefited from that for sure. But I was raised, I think, kind of old school, like corporal discipline. Like you get hit, you live in fear of your parents. My dad would say he had really major lessons on entitlement that were scary. And he would be like, for example, I remember one time, this is a core memory, and I don't think this is positive. I'm like, how could we get there not doing this? But this is what worked for me. I was like, Dad, can I go to Bernadette's house party? I got all A's this year, blah, 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 or something like that. And then he like hits me and is like, you're supposed to get all A's. That's your job. Like, you don't get to get rewarded for that. And I understand.
I mean, kind of true, but yeah.
Yeah.
Low-key true, but maybe delivered the wrong way. You didn't land a delivery.
Yeah. And my dad always tells me about his dad, because his dad didn't speak any English. My dad was severely bullied for not speaking English because my dad also grew up in LA. And his dad was like, he had an alcohol problem, and they would hear the car and they would hide. And my dad was like, I never want to be that person. And to be honest, he wasn't. He had his moments of being a little scary, but my mom was more that person. Like, she had this 1995 Suburban that was very loud, and we would hear it and we would like all get instant anxiety. And so they just expected certain things of us, being well-behaved, being this, being that. And I think for me, what I saw, because again, I was the one that was like, all my other siblings are 1 year apart, and then I came on long much later. What I saw was that we are poor and we don't have much. And I was like, I never want to be poor again. And I also knew early on that this is going to sound so bad, but I felt like my dad never made me feel like, because I was a woman or a person of color. My dad was also Latinos for Trump. He passed since, but we can get into that. But he was just always like, you can achieve because of hard work and because of perseverance. Yeah. And so be like, well, you're a woman and you're brown and people like us don't get, that was never communicated to me ever. It was like, you work hard and you can achieve anything. That was always communicated to me. It wasn't until I got older and I did start to see people where I'm like, wait a minute. I work harder than you. Why do you have a house? Or like that, I was like, oh, there's like some unfairness. But even though we were the brown family that was poor, it was never communicated to me that it was because it was just where we were. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that really helped. And I also think my siblings and I fight all the time. I talk to you guys about this a lot because you guys are the same dynamic. And I feel like you guys never fight. We fight a lot.
We fight on the microphone a lot. Trust me.
I think people probably hear more Paulina and I are like mostly me bullying Paulina live on air. But that's like as far as it goes, you know?
Yeah. There are points where like I don't talk to my sister for years, you know? Like, and I think that that's like, okay, what's going on here? But I think that my siblings, they wanted something different for me too. Even though they like give me a lot of shit and stuff like that, I think that they really advocated for me against my parents often. I was like their first baby in many ways. Now my older sister has three kids and I'm not a baby anymore. But they also thought that I was like the one that could do something. And I think it's just when people believe in you, you're like, yeah, okay, yeah, like I can do it. Now the world has like kind of slapped me upside down a few times, because I think if you guys had known me when I was like 20 or 21 or 22 or 23, you would have probably disliked me a lot more because I was so like...
More?
I know. More.
I know. I don't like you at all.
You would probably dislike me just because I was just like, it's not that hard to like be amazing and successful. It's not that hard to be a good person. It's not that hard. Like, I was that person on my high horse, and I was very humbled by poor decisions I made, by life experience, by life just being unfair, and by messing up mostly, because you're like, oh, maybe I don't know everything just naturally because Jesus gave it to me. Like, maybe there is something to...
But I think like you still, like I was telling you, you're still pretty young and you still have so much to do. And I cannot wait to see everything that you're going to accomplish, because you have accomplished this much at your young age. You have to give yourself credit. We've talked about this a lot, Brittany. But entrepreneurship is something that is not for the faint of heart. I feel like sometimes. So I know you talk about your younger self. So what are some lessons that you have learned along the way that you wish that you knew before or when you started the business? Or, you know, because I think like starting a business is a dream for a lot of people. And I think that's one of the reasons why Brisa and you and along other women started Regarding Her. And it was just like to support and like give the knowledge and share. What are some of those lessons that you've learned along the way in your entrepreneurial career?
I think one is to trust your instincts, especially if you are starting younger. There are a lot of people that will tell you like, well, that's not how it's done, or no one does it that way. And when I was even younger, I would always listen to that. Like, okay, well, if this is what Sprout does and this is what we should do. And as I've gotten older, I'm like, no, like the way that you innovate and come up with better cultures and things like that is by not doing what everybody else does, by thinking outside of the box and doing what makes sense for the group of people that you have. But oftentimes, even though my instinct was saying, like, I think we should do it this way, if someone would be like, that's not how anybody does it, I'd be like, okay, yeah, then we shouldn't do that. And then I end up going back years later and tons of mistakes later to what my instinct was telling me. And so I think that, especially if you happen to be an entrepreneur who's starting out younger, or if you're starting in an industry you were never in before, right? So even if you're older and you were an accountant and now all of a sudden you're going to be in candle making, there are going to be the candle makers that have been doing it for 20 years that are going to be like, nobody does that. Why are you doing that? You're ridiculous. And then you kind of feel insecure, but that's how innovation is made, by doing the things that nobody does. So I think challenging the status quo when you're trying something new, because there's value to being the outside of the box thinker. I see that a lot. I'm 31. I have the high school to hospitality program. So I work with a lot of 18-year-olds, and I see the value in their outside eyes of like, they grew up differently. They have different access to technology, and they say things that I'm like, yeah, I never thought of it that way. And there's value to that, rather than being like, you don't know, you're only this age. So I would say, I wish that I would have valued like my knowledge more in the past. And on the reverse end of that, I would say I would like humble myself a little bit more and not rush to being in charge, because I was like, I gotta be the boss tomorrow. And if I worked somewhere and I wasn't like promoted in less than a year, I was like, oh, you're idiots, they don't know anything. But I always tell, you know, people that I work with, and I'm talking about 18-year-olds because I do this high school to hospitality program, but everybody wants to be an entrepreneur nowadays. And I'm like, look, go learn on someone else's dollar. Let's say you want to be a mobile bartender. Go find the best, most successful mobile bartending company, work for them, steal all their secrets, and then make the mistakes that you're inevitably going to make on somebody else's dollar, and then do it yourself. But wanting to be the boss when you're 18, 19, it's fun. And like, yeah, we have our exceptions to the rule, but you will make a lot of mistakes and it will cost you a lot of money. Why don't you make those mistakes and cost somebody else money? So I wish I would have maybe waited a little bit longer, even just like a couple of years, to like learn a little bit more on somebody else's dollar and then apply it, rather than being like, no, I need to be in charge now. Cause now I'm like, I don't want to be in charge at all.
The story of our lives. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. And I always love being around you. You do have like that bubbly, positive personality. You're always full of energy and it's always fun to hang out with you. I really, really enjoy that.
Thank you for saying that. Oh, and I love you both too. I really hope that you guys know I do channel your different energies when I'm like, what would Brisa do? What would Paulina do in this moment? Because I see you when I see you, but you guys have done such an amazing job with opening the door to what your lives are like behind the scenes. And so I really hope you know whenever your ears are ringing, it's because of me.
Most of the time, end up doing what Paulina does, please. I don't recommend you following on my...
No. No.
Most of the time, do what she would do.
No. Well, congratulations again on your upcoming wedding. It's like, oh my God, it's like the beginning of your chapter and it's amazing. It's going to be great. And I love your fiance too. He's like the best partner for you, I feel like. He's like, he has like that calming energy.
I love you both together.
Yeah, he's really amazing. And I don't know what he's signing up for. And hopefully, by next year, I'll be a super mama, which is what we're working on for this year. So Hopefully, but we'll see, because the business has to allow it. You guys know this. My first child.
No, that's not how it works. I will say this, and I tell this to everybody. Children don't come to impose children our life and bring blessing.
And if you're
waiting for something to happen to have a kid, that's not the way it works. You just have the kid and the kid figures it out for you.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And that kid will give you way more energy, way more drive.
It's really weird. It's really weird what babies do and what new life actually does, because when you don't have a baby, your mind thinks of many things, you know, especially with other people like Malina and I telling you, like, this is the truth and this is how much it costs and this is LA and you have to do this and you have to do that, and like watching people do it. But I will say that when the new life enters your life, it brings an abundance of blessing that is incomparable to anything else. Mm-hmm. And the baby will make you figure things out and see things in a way you never saw, that will allow you to do the hyper growth that you always needed to be. And the baby will bring some sort of crazy blessing that will pay for himself or herself. Mm-hmm. That's the way it works. It's really wild.
I love that. I'm going to tell that to Dan. Dan is like, he's 41 and he's like, I'm not sure if I'm ready to be a dad. Meanwhile, like half of his students have babies and I'm like, they're much younger and they're fine. Their babies are fine. But I'm like, you're 41. I think you're ready.
You know, you're never really ready for a baby. So I think, like I said,
That's true too.
Never ready.
That's another very harsh truth.
You're just going to be a way better version of yourself than you think you are right now. And you're going to do so much more when you have that baby. Then you're like, how did I think I was doing enough before? It's crazy. I don't know. It's crazy.
But thank you again
for being on the show and for sharing another one of your stories and another part of your multi-life that you've had before.
Multifaceted life.
Thank you for having me on. I am a big fan and I'm excited to be here. So I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, please let Supermamas know, where can they follow you? How can they support Guerrilla Tacos? Where can they find you? Tell us all the things.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram, Brittany Baez, at Brittany Baez, and I'm at Guerrilla Tacos most of the time. Two R's and two L's, Guerrilla. Everyone spells it wrong. Tacos. And Gogo's Tacos, which is in Rampart Village and is a B Corp. So it's a lot of the community work that I do. So I'm at one of those if you want to come visit.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here and we love you and can't wait to do this again.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, sisters. Thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram at @_supermamas and on Twitter, also at @_supermamas, and in el Face at Supermamas Podcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your Supermama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline 424-329-3707 and leave us a message, or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love. And
see you next week, Supermamas!